This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
On September 6th, the BC Supreme Court began hearing Dr. Brian Day's constitutional challenge to BC's Medicare Protection Act. Cambi Surgeries Corporation is arguing that the province's ban on the purchase of private insurance for services already covered by the public system violates patients' rights and leaves them waiting months for medically necessary procedures. Colleen Fuller says that this court case poses a grave threat to the principles of equality and universality that Canada's public healthcare system is built on. Colleen Fuller is a research associate with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Her paper on this court case was published by the CCPA last year, and Colleen joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Now, Cambi Surgeries Corp is arguing that the Medicare Protection Act infringes on the charter rights of British Columbians. What arguments are they making?
Well, the arguments they're making in court is that patients' charter rights are being violated because they're waiting too long on wait lists, and that this violates the security of the person and so forth. So it's a charter Section 7 challenge, and there are other sections of the charter also that they're referring to. So that's how they're framing it for the public. But in the court, although they're arguing that patients' rights are being violated by these long wait times, the actual challenge is to the Medicare sections of the Medicare Protection Act that have to do with extra billing and things like that.
Just to back up for a moment before we get into the actual court case, the Medical Services Commission was planning to audit the Cambi Clinic when they launched their charter challenge. Why did they want that audit?
Well, in 2007, the Medical Services Commission said that they were going to audit Cambi Surgeries Clinic and the Specialist Referral Clinic, both of which are connected through Brian Day. He's the major owner of both of those clinics. Because they had got 30 complaints from patients who had been billed by one or the other of these companies, and so they wanted their money back. And so they submitted the invoices that they had paid to the Medical Services Commission, and with some of them, the commission said, well, we're sorry, but we've already paid these invoices to the doctors because of the submission to the MSP. And so so they said that for this reason, they were going to audit both clinics. They had a really rough time because Brian Day, you know, is a little pit bull, and he would not allow the auditors into either of the clinics. And when it looked like he was going to sort of lose that argument, he and four other private surgical clinics headed to the court and filed the charter challenge. And in the charter challenge, in the initial filing with the court, they said that the charter rights of patients were being violated. And also, by the way, would you postpone or enjoin the audit? So the audit was a real motivator, from my point of view, for the charter challenge.
So just to understand the audit, patients were having a surgical procedure, which then they paid for.
That's right.
But medical services plan was also paying for that same service.
That's right. And so, of course, that's completely illegal. And also, I have to say that there was a lot of public pressure on the government to prevent the extensive and well-known extra billing by the doctors who were practicing in a lot of these private surgical clinics across the province. It's not like it was any secret. Everybody knew that this was going on. BC was being fined by Health Canada for violating the criteria of the Canada Health Act because it was allowing this type of extra billing. So there's been a long track record of this illegal activity. Brian Day has never made any secret of the fact that he is violating the law. He doesn't agree with the law, and he's violating the law by charging patients for services.
So when we talk about extra billing, we're talking about something different than double billing then?
Yes, there's two things, and both are illegal. The extra billing is sometimes it might be referred to as a facility fee. So you get charged for the rental of the operating room, for the supplies and materials that go into the operation, et cetera. Those types of facility fees are also illegal, but that's a form of billing. And then the extra billing, which is by the doctors on top of what they're charging.
Now, Brian Day likes to say that he wants patients to have the right to pay. Mm-hmm. You say he's looking for the right to charge. Mm-hmm. What distinction are you making there?
Well, there's a big distinction, actually. I mean, doctors do have the right to charge the medical services plan, and in fact, 95, 99, or whatever it is, like almost every doctor in the country is charging the public system for their services. So the sections of the Medicare Protection Act, which are being challenged, and that is the legislation that governs our healthcare system in BC. The Medicare Protection Act says you cannot charge a facility fee, you cannot double bill, you cannot extra bill. And those are the parts of the act that are being challenged, and they're being challenged under the Constitution. So it isn't, they're not, if they wanted to challenge the health minister and the government because patients are waiting too long, that would be one thing, but they're not doing that. That is a cover argument for what they're really doing, which is saying we have the right to bill public, private payers, and basically whatever we want.
Now, the defendants in the case are the BC Minister of Health, the Attorney General, and the Medical Services Commission. Mm-hmm. What is the province's record on defending public health care here in BC?
Well, that's an interesting question. They have allowed these private surgical clinics to flourish in BC. And they did that because, like a lot of other ideologically committed politicians around the world, they're committed to a market solution for problems that exist within the healthcare system, and one of them has been wait times. The other bigger problem, however, in the 90s, and the reason that these clinics got a foothold in the province of BC and in other provinces, was because employers in BC wanted injured workers back on the job as quickly as possible. And so they injured workers had to wait in the same queue as everybody else. And so in the 90s, the NDP made arrangements with the public hospital system to keep the operating rooms operating on the weekends and through the night so that injured workers would be treated within the public system. And so a lot of doctors were working long, you know, hours into the night, or they were doing swing shift or whatever on a, you know, 24-hour cycle. They were working, you know, through midnight and to 2 in the morning or whatever, and on the weekends. And my own, I read an interesting article in Reader's Digest years ago based on an interview with Brian Day, and the person who wrote the article concluded that Brian Day, one of his motives for setting up Cambi was that he didn't like working at 2 a.m. on injured workers. So he opened a private surgical clinic. I don't know if that's true or not, but I have to tell you that it makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't want to work at 2 o'clock in the morning either. So he had more control over his time in a private surgical clinic. And he has thrived off the workers' compensation system like most of the private surgical clinics in the province and across the country. The WCB has accommodated these clinics because they argue that that they get workers back on the job sooner, which of course is questionable.
Why do you say it's questionable?
Well, there's only been one study done looking at whether expedited surgeries in the private sector do get workers back on the job in an expedited way. It was done in BC by a woman at UBC named Mike Cohorn, and she was hired by the WCB to do the study. And what she found was workers with injured knees were back on the job sooner if they went through the public hospital system. But the WCB was paying 385% higher fees to the private surgical clinics for expedited care. So that's the only evidence we've got.
So you're saying that this whole system with the WCB putting workers through private clinics shows a lack of commitment by the province to public health care?
I think that the province has completely mismanaged healthcare. I mean, one of the surprises around this case is that they're doing such a good job in protecting the legislation that upholds Medicare in this province. And so it's like they have a split personality. On the one hand, you have the Ministry of Health, which is a disaster area in almost every way. And on the other hand, you have the Attorney General's Department, which is doing a crack job in defending the legislation.
Will the changes that Brian Day is seeking actually reduce wait lists?
No. The evidence internationally is pretty clear on that particular point, that of course people with money have a short wait time. They can go to the U.S., they can go to India, they can go to Europe, they can go to South Africa, they can go anywhere, and that's what they often do. So they leave the country, and there's nothing you can do about that. People will do that if they want. Within Canada, something that most people will not know. BC has the longest wait times in Canada for hip and knee surgery and cataract eye surgery. And we also have the highest number of private surgical clinics who are offering those three procedures, are very popular in the private sector because they're fast. You can make a lot of money on them. And yet the wait times for those are very, very long. And this upholds the international evidence, which shows that these private clinics actually don't reduce wait times in the public system. They draw resources out of the public system and create longer waits.
Now, Dr. Jacques Choly brought a charter challenge to the ban on private insurance payments in Quebec in 2005, and the case was successful. Was that the same as this case that Cambi Surgeries is bringing here in BC?
No. There's been a lot of poor reporting on that, actually. The Choly decision, the case that was brought to the Supreme Court in Quebec, and then the Supreme Court of Canada, was about private insurance, that Choly was arguing that patients who wait too long should be able to obtain private insurance to get surgery in the private system. And so the plaintiffs in that case won in Quebec, and the justices decided that it was that the ban on private insurance violated the Quebec Charter, but not the Canadian Charter. So the decision only applied in Quebec. And so it was strictly about private insurance. It wasn't what Day is arguing, which is that doctors should be able to extra bill, double bill. They should be able to be in the system and out of the system. And that is quite a different scenario than what Choly was arguing. And I'm not saying that the Choly decision was a good decision. It was a disaster for people in Quebec. And in fact, last year, I think it was last year, or maybe it was 2014, there was a class action lawsuit launched against the Minister of Health because only 20% of the clinics in Quebec were obeying the law, which bans extra billing. So can you imagine? The Choly decision just created this situation.
And that was a direct result of the Choly decision?
It was a direct result of the Choly decision, that nobody can get private insurance. If you need hip surgery, you cannot go and get private insurance for it. The insurance industry will laugh at you and say, are you kidding? You have a pre-existing condition and you're not going to be insured. So that means that you have to pay out of your own pocket. And so so this has led to this kind of chaotic situation in Quebec. So there was a class action launched, and then a week ago, actually, the Quebec minister announced that the province would reinstitute a total ban on extra billing. So they have gone in the opposite direction because of public unhappiness with the situation that developed there. So although Brian Day is referring to Chauli and that BC should go down this path, in fact, he's misrepresenting what the situation actually has been there.
Will it have an impact on the court case here? What's happened, what's developed as a result of that successful challenge in Quebec?
I hope that they do take that into consideration, yes. I mean, there are, you know, the judge in the BC court case is a decent person. I hope that he renders a good decision and one that is not appealable, because if he doesn't, it will be appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada. There's no doubt about that.
What will happen if Cambie Surgeries Corporation wins this fight?
Well, if they win in BC, it will go to the Supreme Court of Canada. If they win at the Supreme Court, the core principle of Medicare is that you access care based on need, not ability to pay. And so a lot of people, I think that if he wins, then some people will just go there and they'll have to pay. But you'll have a choice. Either you will pay or you won't pay. But that is not what will happen. What will happen is the same thing that's happened to physiotherapy in this province. In 2001, physiotherapy was delisted. But before it was delisted, it was you saw a removal from the hospital system to the private sector for outpatient physiotherapy. And so the private sector was growing and flourishing with physiotherapy. At that time, up until 2001, really, physiotherapists in the private sector were able to bill the medical services plan for about $15 or $20 per visit and bill the patient. So they were double billing. They were allowed to do that. So because of the pressure from physiotherapists on the government to raise the cost of the MSP rates, they delisted it. So this is the road for outpatient surgery from my perspective.
So knee surgeries and hip surgeries and cataract surgeries run the risk of being delisted?
Well, I think that on an outpatient basis, yeah. And 85% of surgeries are done on an outpatient basis now in Canada. So there is a lot at risk here, from my perspective. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say exactly what would happen. But if you look at the experience that we have already had with services that have been delisted, there is a kind of a trajectory for those services. And they go from being fully covered, partially covered, delisted. That's what happens. And so it is a real concern.
Thank you so much for coming down and explaining. It's a very complicated issue,
but
I think you did a great job of making it clear.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Colleen Fuller. She's a research associate with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Her paper on this court case was published by the CCPA last year. It's titled Cambie Corp Goes to Court, and you can find it at policyalternatives.ca.